One of the most important things we need to understand is the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, God worked with a nation that was present on the world scene. That nation, of course, called Israel, was chosen from all nations to be separate and distinct. Their distinction came from being a theocracy. God was their head, and they had God's laws to live by. People became part of that nation through the family that they were born into and were marked by many things, including circumcision. Now, with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the old way of God's interaction with humanity through the nation of Israel was formally ended, and the new covenant was introduced. The new way would be through the Church of God, a spiritual nation drawn from all humanity. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verses 9 and 10. Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or distinct people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So the idea of a nation before God is still present, but has been reinterpreted and adapted to a situation forever changed by Jesus Christ. Now, as we know, one of the Old Covenant main rituals, circumcision, is no longer the mark of who is or who is not God's. We could say circumcision was replaced by baptism and receipt of the Holy Spirit under the New Covenant. In addition, humanly devised traditions that attempt to categorize people into groups acceptable to God or not acceptable to God are not part of the New Covenant. To understand the second point, I want to go through a scripture in Ephesians that Paul used to explain this principle. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and starting in verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11. "Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ." He's talking to Gentiles. "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off are made close by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken the middle wall of partition," in the King James, or separation, the wall of separation. It's interesting, Paul uses the example of an actual wall that was built around the Jerusalem temple grounds to keep out non-Jews. Under the former way of doing things, God commanded that all the males of the families of Israel carry that mark of circumcision, again, to separate them from other people. God wanted Israel to stay separate and avoid mixing true worship with the false. Separation and distinction remain God's goal, but it's handled very differently. Now the assembly of people who remain separate, who worship in spirit and in truth, is designated as the Church of God. Now, Paul mentioned circumcision as a regulation that marked and categorized people based on their ancestry. In verse 13, he teaches that there is a change because of Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, under the new covenant, all people can approach God. Now, back in Paul's day, he noted again that there was this regulation. It wasn't from scripture, but the Jews said, hey, we need to build a wall around the temple, of course, to separate Gentile visitors from the Jews, a physical temple. And the Jews thought they needed a physical temple because at the time of Jesus, the land was occupied by Roman forces, and there were lots of non-Jewish people living in the territory of Israel. They did not want non-Jews going there into the temple. Now, that wall had inscriptions attached to it warning non-Jews not to proceed any further. Two examples of these inscriptions actually found by archaeologists and are currently on display in Istanbul and Jerusalem, if you ever get an opportunity to go there. The historian Josephus wrote that this following inscription was actually there, quote, "No foreigner may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for this ensuing death." Yeah, we're going to kill you if you cross this physical barrier. Now, why might a wall built in Jerusalem have any meaning or significance to people in Ephesus who read this letter from Paul? Well, we actually have to note that Paul wrote the book of Ephesians from prison. Take a look at Acts chapter 21, because this fills in information that will help us understand what's written in Ephesus. Take a look at Acts chapter 21. And starting in verse 27. Acts 21:27. "When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were in Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people. They laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place.' And further, he brought Greeks also into the temple." It's an accusation against Paul. "He's polluted the holy place. For they had seen before him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed Paul had brought into the temple. And it says that all the city was moved against him. They took Paul, they threw him out of the temple. They were about to kill him," verse 31. "Everything was in an uproar." Paul's arrest came because he supposedly took a non-Jew past this barrier, past this middle wall of partition or this middle wall of separation. The accusation was false. There were no witnesses, but Paul actually had to stay in prison while he awaited his day in court. So that wall would have been on everyone's mind. You know, this is a big thing. This is an uproar. So back in Ephesians chapter 2, let's finish Paul's thought here. So back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. In verse 14, again, that middle wall of separation has been torn down. "Having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for the making himself of two, the new man, so he makes peace." We don't want to misunderstand what Paul is saying. He's not saying, the law is slain or abolished, right? The problem, of course, is sin. Sin is that barrier between us and God. Verse 16, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. And through him we both have access to one spirit by the Father." Through that acceptance of Jesus Christ, we have that enmity removed. Our sins, our sinful nature is taken care of, and we are reconciled to God and made peace in our minds. Verse 19, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Mary's talking to Gentiles who formerly had no relationship with God under the old covenant. But under the new covenant, Paul's clearly saying that God's people now are Jews and Gentiles, basically everyone as far as a possibility, no longer separated as they were. And in verse 20, are built upon the foundation of apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows to a holy temple to the Lord. That's the real thing. Not the physical temple, but the holy temple of people. In whom also you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And that is, the Holy Spirit is the key. It is the key. That is the mark of who are God's people. So under the administration of the new covenant, humanity's access and approach to God is through Jesus Christ. And he is the focus of our upcoming Passover service. He is the focus. The risen Jesus is the living head of the assembly of God's people. Through him, we're drawn from all people based on faith and not ancestry. This understanding is fundamental to the new covenant, the better covenant indeed.